The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. This segment is brought to you by Carbach. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I was kind of impressed. I think it was Friday night when they won. Altuve took the night off, and you just put up a ton of runs. That offense is good enough. It's just Mike Fiers has turned back into Mike Fiers. People forget early in the season that he was close to getting taken out of the rotation.
Oh, look how great Charlie Morton's pitching. Look how great Brad Peacock's been. History tells you those guys aren't that good. I don't want to be, you know, relying on a 20% good sample size versus the 80% of mediocrity when the playoffs come around.
People kind of ran with this John McClain tweet. This isn't what it says, but it's basically Tom Savage has been terrific in the first 2 weeks of camp. He's clearly number one, makes every throw, respected by teammates, knows this offense. People start picking that story up and I'm like, oh, Tom Savage is great. It's 2 weeks of camp.
I don't care about what people do in the preseason. That's like saying, oh, this guy looked great at the combine. He's going to be a great NFL quarterback. It's not a realistic representation of what a guy is. I've seen Tom Savage play football in the NFL before. He's just a guy.
Here's Fred, AJ, and the brewmaster himself, Eric.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number three. 713-780, ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at John Snow with a zero, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And we'll get back to the Thrones talk in a little bit. We got to talk a little beer now. It's a little different here. Usually, Eric's bringing us the beer.
Normally, it's that way.
You flipped the script on him.
But I did some traveling, and I brought back a lot of beer. And I thought, who better to share with than the guy who always brings us beer? So I brought a little bit of DeGarde back, and I say a little bit. I brought a lot of DeGarde back. It's one of my favorite breweries. I brought back 20 bottles of beer, 20 750 milliliter bottles, bombers, and 15 of them were from DeGarde.
Wow.
Yeah. So I bought a lot there, and brought it all back, and everything survived. Thank goodness. I had a 15-bottle wine shipper box that I checked going up.
Yep.
With some beer to drink there, and made sure I had drank all that beer so I had room to ship everything back, and everything that wouldn't fit in there, I fit in my suitcase. And I've become kind of a master at fitting exactly 50 pounds worth of stuff into a bag and making sure none of it breaks. So I was proud of myself that none of them broke.
You're way more sophisticated than I was back in the day, Jay. When I was going to brewing school over in Germany, I'd always come back with like German and Belgian beers, and I would just sort of, you know, wrap the bottles in my dirty underwear and stuff it in my backpack.
I still do that sometimes too. Yeah, when I don't have access to a wine box, I do when we go to Vegas, I just wrap stuff up in my dirty clothes and bring it back. But it works about the same, but, you know, when you're bringing that much back, you don't have that many underwear.
Yeah, right.
So you got to do something. But the brewery up there, I'll have to look at my Untappd or my Facebook check-ins or something to see exactly how many breweries we went to. I want to say it was 15-ish on this trip, and went to a few in Seattle, which there are probably five or so in Seattle. And then went to the one on the coast. Well, actually, we went to two out there because there's also a Pelican Brewing.
Pelican Bay? Is it Pelican?
No, Pelican Brewing.
It's
Pelican Brewing is in Tillamook, the same town that DeGarde's in, which I don't know how they have two breweries there. Like, that's all that's there, two breweries and a cheese factory.
Did your kids
and
run up the sand hill?
Pot shops.
Did you run your kids up that big sand hill near Pelican?
Should I have?
Oh, man, it's great. It's like they can slide down that thing. It's amazing.
I would only do that for punishment. So if it's fun, they wouldn't have done it. No. That's why I've got my kids run hills. But this DeGarde, it's like the most unassuming place ever. So there's a big air museum there. So there's this massive hangar that looks like a blimp goes in it.
Yeah.
And beyond that, there's a police station, and then there's a couple of like little industrial buildings that it looks like a strip mall, but it's not a strip mall. There's just, you know, there's warehouses and things like that, and storage, a lot of it. And then one of those buildings is the guard, and it's their entire operation. And their barrel room, and almost all of their stuff is aged in oak barrels. That's
they doing wine or bourbon or a little of both?
Mostly with wine.
Yeah.
They've done some cognac stuff, but it's all they capture all the it's free floating bacteria that they capture, and that's what they use to sour their beers. But they and they partner with all local Oregon farmers to get all their berries and stuff like that. It's just kind of it's a small operation that's just turned into this magnificent thing. And they had some barrels. I guess they call what do they call what's the fodder or
The big like fermenters, the wooden fermenters
that are bigger than they're like the size of this room. Some of them.
Yep.
I mean, I've never seen anything like it, and they've got a handful of them in there. And so, like, normally where you would see all the like they have some tanks, like the normal steel tanks, but that part of their operation is really small, you know, and they don't do any large batch stuff. They don't distribute their beer. So if you buy their beer, you have to buy it at the brewery.
Yep.
They have a couple of beer.
The only place you get this beer is at the brewery.
This beer, yeah. Like I think they've got one or two beers that are like their non-fruited flagship beers that you can buy in certain spots in Oregon, like in Portland and stuff like that.
Like specialty bottle shops.
Right.
But are they bottle only? No
bottle
kegs?
Only. No. Yeah. So, but everything else you have to buy at this place, and it's out of your way to get to it. There's no, I accidentally showed up in this town. I mean, it's along the 101. It's, you know, you got to go out of your way to get to it, but it's a really cool place. It's just like a mom and pop place. And they put out some really good beers.
Yeah, this beer is delicious, man.
It is a wild ale with black and red raspberries. They just released it when I was up there. They did this one and a Marionberry version of it. And I thought they were both outstanding. And they've got like a list that you can take home. Like these are the beers we've got to take with you. And then they've got some rarer stuff that is on-site only consumption. And you can buy those bottles and sit there and drink them. So I did a lot of that while I was there.
You're like on the best customer list now, I bet.
I would guess so, yeah. And somebody, one of the guys who was like the bartender there, used to live in Austin. And he said, and of course, I spent the whole day out there one of the days. I was there for several hours with my wife. And he had a buddy who texted him and was like, hey, I think there was a guy in there today named AJ, big bald guy with a beard. He's like, yeah, that guy was here. He's like, oh, that's a radio guy from Austin. That's where, you know, I know. And he was like, oh, yeah. So I had to tell him, like, yeah, he saw me check in there. And he's like, oh, you might have seen this guy. So it's a small world. But yeah, the beer there is outstanding. Fred, I'm sorry you don't have any beer today because Fred does not like sour beer.
You know what, though? This is not that sour. It's definitely got the Brett. Brettanomyces yeast kind of character, but it's not you know, off the chart sour. It's Fred, I think you'd actually and I gotta hand it to AJ. This is like one of the best beers I've ever had. This
pretty
is
good.
Incredible. It's got great body. You know, a lot of times the sour fruited beers, they get sort of really dry.
Mm-hmm.
And you get you know, they're just too acidic sometimes. I mean, maybe that's like what Fred's not into, but this has actually got some good body and depth to it.
Some good juiciness.
Really good fruitiness. Pretty incredible. I gotta admit, because a couple of the other ones from the guard I've had at your house, I thought were solid,
mm-hmm.
but not in the same class. So is this like their sort of pinnacle of their beers?
This is this series, the Demare series. This beer is called Violet Demare.
Yep.
And the other one's called Marionberry Demare. They last week, or this week the first week that I was gone, they put out a Boysenberry one, and Boysenberry Demare. It's the first time they've done them. Usually they do Berliner Weisses that are fruited, and those are called Boo. And then the other stuff they do is called the something or another. And it's, you know, they're not all the same, but they all have sort of a similar vibe to them. These are different, and I've liked them a lot. Yeah, this is the first time I've popped the violet one, but the Marionberry one was awesome too.
Pop the violet, AJ.
That's right. And we had a corkscrew, luckily, sitting around our office.
We literally had to pop it. Yeah, the color on this is incredible. It is just so beautiful. I mean, it's kind of a deep...
It looks like wine, kind of.
It really does. It's unreal.
John, what do you think?
I like it. I'm not a big sour fan either.
Is it too sour?
No, it's not too sour at all.
Okay.
It's nice.
All right.
Yeah, well balanced, man. It's good. Thanks for sharing this,
my pleasure, man.
Yeah,
man.
We mix it up a little bit. Usually I'm bringing beer and...
Well, tell me, now, because you'll know this better than most, and I know when you do any kind of barrel-aged stuff, if you do sours, there's a lot of risk of contamination and stuff like that. Is that why not every brewery is doing sour beers, because it's just such a different operation than the other stuff that you would do?
Absolutely. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that bacteria, so a complex sour is going to have yeast like that Brettanomyces yeast, as well as bacteria that make it sour. Well, the yeast are about 50 times larger than bacteria. So you can filter them out and they're sort of easier to keep out of the rest of your brewery. And bacteria have this ability to sort of get in, you know, every little nook and cranny, and they just kind of behave differently than yeast. So even if you take great precautions to, you know, super clean your brewery, just it's not recommended.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, a lot of breweries that do make sours, they'll have like a separate part of their, you know, brewery campus where they do that. So we're finally moving into our new warehouse, which is gonna free up our old kind of rustic warehouse, and we're thinking that'll be a great place for us to.
So you guys plan on doing something like that?
I mean I think we're gonna start small, you know, very small scale to start, nothing too ambitious, but and that's the other thing too, you know, sours take a lot longer. The complex marriage of the bacteria and the yeast means the aging time takes quite a while. I mean, I'm sure this beer took these guys months and months to brew and age. So your feedback loop is a lot slower, right?
Right.
And so it takes a while to build up a sour program. That's why some of the breweries, you know, nationally that are kind of known for that, you know, they started doing this back in the
years ago.
Yeah.
And or it's just all they do. Like in the case of these guys, they don't, there's no, if you want a lager or an IPA, they don't have those at DeGarde.
Yeah.
You can't get that kind of stuff.
And I think that's a smart business model for these guys. I mean, they're selling a premium product at a premium price at the brewery only. It's become this destination, apparently. I mean, if you're flying all the way there from Texas, and you're not alone. There's other folks that are doing that.
Well,
so
the crazy thing, it's really not what you would consider a premium price.
Yeah, like what'd this bottle cost you?
This bottle cost me $12.
That's too cheap.
Yeah.
I think they're underselling that.
Yeah. Every bottle they had to go was 12, 13, 14, 14, 12, 12, 9, 12. They had one beer that was $22 a bottle, and it was like a collaboration beer they did with a brewery called Casa Agria that I think they're probably splitting profits on, so the price on it is a little bit higher. Now, some of the rarer bottles that were there that were for on-site only, those got up to like $30. But, yeah, this was a $12 beer. It's hard to find a beer better than this for $12, I think.
Yeah, they're leaving money on the table, man. I'd pay, you know, $20 for this easily.
Easy.
It's great stuff. So, well, we're working on some new beers. I think next time I come around, maybe we'll have the hazy IPA ready.
Okay.
We brewed it. It went very well. We're going to dry hop it with some Galaxy from Australia, as well as some melon hops from Germany. Literally kind of gives a little bit of a melon aroma. So we're looking forward to that. The Carb Oktoberfest is out now in stores.
All right.
You know, it's early.
Oktoberfest, it's coming out earlier and earlier now. It's turning into a summer beer.
Sam Adams like screwed all the craft brewers when they started coming out of that in August. And now we all have to like to be competitive, because now the retailers are like, well, these other guys have an Oktoberfest. Where's yours? If you don't get yours here to us,
how are you going to get the shelf space?
That's right.
I think Sam Adams just put a pumpkin beer on shelves.
Oh, you're kidding me.
I'm not kidding.
Oh, I saw one in Specs the other day. I saw two pumpkin beers already.
Yeah, it's already, I mean, they keep pushing back the timelines on these things. I don't know why they're doing it. Like, the last thing I want to drink in the summer heat is a freaking pumpkin beer.
No kidding.
Yeah, and I mean, I get it. If you're like in Montana or something and you get that first cool night in mid-August, okay, but down here, you're right. That's just ridiculous. So, but yeah, it's kind of the, you know, the games we got to play, so to speak. But yeah, also restaurant week's going on at the brewery. Got to come down for that. $35, three amazing courses by our chef PJ Stoops. You get a 5-ounce pour with each of those courses. So going on all month of August, really delicious menu. So I definitely, you know, come on by and give it a taste. It's very good, delicious beers. And you can buy other beers, too, if you want. You don't have to just, like, you know, hey, if you want to get a BBH, you can do that, too.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Hop Delusion, whatever.
And of course, you know, that first cool night, you're going to want to have a BBH, right?
I can drink a BBH any day.
Yeah, Fred will
say, I've seen Fred drink BBH.
Fred will drink a BBH on the lawnmower midsummer. Yeah. He doesn't
exactly
care.
Exactly.
He'll go to the Astros game with the roof open and be there chugging a BBH. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. I have strict seasons. It's sour season and stout season, and I follow both of them pretty closely.
So sour is your sort of summertime season.
Yeah, that's what I like to drink when it's hot.
Okay.
And then IPAs are good too. Although they can be a little bit heavy on me. But yeah, when it's cold, that's a dark beer is what I like to go to. So that's I think I might be in line with most people with that.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of normal, you know, lighter beers in the and you know, sours, even though some of these, like, what's the ABV on this? I'm guessing probably around 7?
6.1, I believe.
6.1, okay.
Yep.
A little
6.1.
lower. But it's very refreshing, you know. It's
not
a little
bad.
And sours, you know, you'll have some really good ones that are like 8%, but they're very refreshing, dry.
Of course, up here when we were drinking the beers, it was cold. Like I have a Degard hoodie now. I didn't plan on buying it, but my wife was there, and she's like, it's freezing here. I need something to wear. And, of course, I'm wearing shorts and a T-shirt. I feel fine when it's cold or chilly even. But it was like 65 degrees there, so I got a new hoodie out of the deal. So it worked out for me.
Everybody's happy.
Yeah, everybody's happy. But, Eric, appreciate you coming in. When's
Thanks,
the next
guys.
Time we'll see you? A couple weeks?
Yeah, I'll see you. Actually, I'm going to see you on Tuesday in 2 weeks instead of Monday because I am going up to check out the old Eclipse up in Wyoming. I'm going to be in the path.
You're going up there,
I'm going up there, man.
How long in advance did you have to book your room?
So fortunately, my kid lives in Colorado.
Okay.
And so we just have like a 3-hour drive. But literally, I'm scared about the traffic going up there. So we're going to leave at like 4 a.m. from his place and get up there and yeah, but I called this park ranger where we're going. Little park, state park in the middle of nowhere in Wyoming. They're expecting 25,000 to 100,000 people there. It's a town of 200. I know another buddy of mine, his son's dating a girl whose grandparents have a place in this town, Glendo, Wyoming. Uh-huh. The Motel 6, $1,100 a night.
Oh my God. So I didn't believe this at first when I was hearing them talk about it. But Bend is like a touristy town. Apparently, they're going to be right in the middle of this thing. And they said that there could be 1 million people in Bend, which it almost seems impossible. And I don't, Bend is maybe the size of, yeah, I mean, maybe if you're being generous, is the size of like
College Station or something.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. You know, I mean, it's not a big place. College Station is probably bigger than Bend. There's three high schools in Bend. So that's to give you a sort of a reference of how big it is. It's smaller than Katy, to put that into perspective. And they said they're expecting 1 million people to be there. So my wife's family, they're stocked up on bottled water and things. And they said they have to go grocery shopping a week in advance, and they're going to be eating like frozen foods and stuff because the grocery stores are going to be cleared out. I mean, you can't get a hotel room. I mean, it's just it's crazy there.
It's going to be
weird.
I
didn't know it was that big of a deal.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, I think they're expecting like across the entire U.S. like 10 to 15 million people
Unreal.
To go to these areas where you can, you know, where it's the path of totality. So
and it's basically just you're going to – there's, what, 15, 20 minutes of nighttime in the middle of the day?
You get about 2 to 2.5 minutes of totality. That's it, where you can actually look at the eclipse without having to, you know, worry about the safety glasses or anything.
Right.
Now, the lead up where the moon's starting to cover it and then where it comes off, the whole deal's like 3 hours. But the really cool part's like 2 minutes.
Man.
Yeah. But hey, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity.
How many people do you think are going to go out of their way, pay $1,100 a night for a hotel room? They're going to make a day of it, then they're going to get too drunk and pass out.
Oh, you know that's going to happen.
Or they're going to be taking a dump while it's happening. It's like, oh, I missed it. I had to poop. Oh, what a mess.
I'm going to hold it.
Yeah, you better. You better. All right, well, enjoy that, man. Appreciate you coming in, and we will talk to you then.
See you in a couple weeks.
All right.
By the way,
Eric Warner at Carbach.
College Station, 112,000. Ben, 91. So
it's smaller than College Station.
Yeah.
Okay. Know,
yeah, by about 20,000 people.
A million people there. Can you imagine?
No.
I mean, that's it. These towns are not equipped for that. But what are you going to do?
Hey, once in a lifetime deal. All right, yep.
Let's tell the people about Triangle Energy. Guys, shopping for electricity rates, it can be tough. I've done it. I don't like to do it. It ain't easy, though. It can be like trying to get a hotel room during the eclipse. It can be that difficult. Triangle Energy is trying to make it easy for you, though. Signing up is simple. It's fast. There's no hidden fees and no interruption in service. Take advantage of their new low 12-month rate locked in at 8.1 cents when you use the promo code ESPN. When you get home, compare that offer to your last bill. In fact, if your usage is 2,000 kilowatt hours a month, which is average for these hot Texas summers, your total bill would be around $170. If you're paying anything more than that in the summer, switch now. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or visit TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TriEagleEnergy.com. Remember to use that promo code ESPN to get yourself the best rate. TriEagleEnergy.com, PUCT license number 10064.
The RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Yeah, we haven't done yet.
Beer and Game of Thrones. What a day, Fred.
It's been pretty good. I got one thing that might make it better, but we got to do it as the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gym of the day.
We always like to pass on the perfect jobs for the Blitzers, right? And we have pretty close to perfect jobs for us. Pretty sure Eric has a perfect job for him. I think this is a perfect job for a lot of our listeners.
Fluffer.
No. Not that. You want to keep trying?
No.
Flogger.
That was my flogger? No. Professional flogger?
No.
I got nothing else.
How about a global drinks ambassador for a whiskey company?
That's not bad.
Which basically, all you have to do is travel around the world and drink.
There's worse jobs than that.
The successful candidate will have to pass two rounds of interviews. And they'll have to use social media to post a drink they've created on Instagram with the hope that it'll show their personality. And it has to be Grant's whiskey in the drink, so whatever drink you're going to mix. They'll pick 250 people through the hashtag, invite them to send in their applications, and then they'll whittle it down to 20, where they'll all get to go to the original distillery, get a two-night stay at a hotel, and then they'll have challenges, and the winner gets the gig.
So it's like a beer Olympics?
Yeah, there'll be three
or
people.
Whiskey Olympics in
three
this case.
People chosen, which I would like my chance at something like this, not going to lie. They're going to choose three people, and they'll be sent to either Poland, Israel, or India, South Africa, the Nordics, and Colombia, Russia, Taiwan, and France.
No, that's not for me. I'm out on that.
Yeah, I'd probably.
There's a lot of dangerous places you just listed.
I wouldn't want, like, the Nordics would be cool. If you'd send me to the Nordics.
That's the one spot I'd take, probably.
A lot of blonde women there.
Yeah. I was seeing, I have a pretty short list of countries that I'll go to that aren't America. Australia used to be on that list. You see that kid who got his feet eaten by fleas?
Yeah.
Sea fleas?
Ugh.
Dude, why is there so much dangerous stuff in Australia? It's off my list now.
That's one of those things I want to do before I die. I want to go to Australia and New Zealand.
Not me.
But I have a pretty
used to want to, but
a pretty short list of countries I would live in outside of here. Obviously, I'd live in Canada.
And I wouldn't live in any of these places. I'm talking about visiting.
Oh, well, I want to visit all of them.
Ugh.
But
that's foolish.
I wouldn't mind living in like Finland or Sweden.
Not me. They don't speak English there.
No, but their women have a look.
You're going to learn Swedish?
No.
You're going to learn Norwegian?
I'll just bang a bilingual chick. What's the big problem? She can translate for me.
Dude, you're not pulling those chicks there, especially, I mean.
Oh, no, they love Americans.
No, no offense, but you're past your prime as it was, and your prime wasn't that great. You ain't getting some hot hot supermodel Finnish chick.
No, she doesn't have to be that hot. She could be like a Finnish four.
You ain't getting Elle Nordgren.
No, no, but I don't need her. She's like an American 10, right? But okay. A Finnish four is a solid Houston 7.5.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Probably so. But aren't the dudes there really handsome, too, like Vikings?
Well, yeah, but there's fewer of them.
I don't think so. I think it's about 50-50 like everywhere else in the world.
No, there's a lot more women there.
I don't think that Scandinavia is some sort of, like, mythical place where it's 80-20 chick-to-dude ratio. I don't believe that. Otherwise, people would have found out about it. They've already jumped on that.
Yeah, well, it seems like an interesting area. And they play hockey there.
I think your best bet is like going to Siberia, like northern Russia.
No.
Where?
No, not
happening. I think that's the best thing for you. They play hockey there.
No.
The women there are tough. They're built to survive in the elements.
Actually, there are a lot of places where there's just absolutely beautiful Russian women.
Yeah.
I mean, all over the place up there.
But if a woman can survive a Siberian winter, they can survive you.
I don't know,
they can
man.
Survive having sex with you.
I don't know. I mean,
they've done way harder things in their life than that.
Okay, I have the female male to female ratio in Finland.
All right.
Now, the total population is 0.97 males to females, so there's more females.
Okay.
But, however, under 55, between 25 and 54, it's 1.04 males to females. And over 55, 0.97, and then over 65, 0.76. So it's just children. No, there's more males to females under 55. So over 55, there's more females.
Oh, well, some of those.
Okay, well, you could find yourself an old broad.
Well, I'm guessing some of those 55 pluses look pretty good.
All right.
Not for you, maybe, but
They're probably like a Houston 5.
No, I'm going to go with like a Houston 6.5.
But when you're in your 50s, like settling a Houston 5 ain't bad for a guy like you.
Why are we even talking about this? I'm not on the market right now.
Oh, okay. I thought you were leaving.
Well, eventually. No, that was a hypothetical. It's like countries I would live in if I were banished from the United States.
If you were banished, are you on the terror list? The watch list? Fowler?
I don't want to joke. I don't want to joke about that.
Fowler? Are you on a watch list?
No, but that's not fun.
Three vowels in a row.
Oh, I've had my run-ins with the TSA over that. No, I.
That's why you got that clear. I know that's why you did it. Like why you did the pre-check thing.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, now I don't have to deal with that.
Yeah, anymore. You don't have to be. But it was. They don't have to strap the glove on anymore.
I will say though, best $108 I've ever spent was to get that card.
I bet so.
Because not only do I never get hassled anymore when we travel internationally, I get to go right to the front of the line in customs. I mean, it's a hell of a deal. And you know, you have to go through a big screening process, but it wasn't that big. They let me through. I don't know how we got on this.
I don't either. It doesn't matter.
409 says a Houston 6.5 is a Beaumont 9.9. Is that that's a Beaumont person saying that.
I'm gonna go no. I've seen a couple strong chicks out there in Beaumont.
I would say the high end Beaumont, pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty good. Just not
now. There's not much. There's not much middle in Beaumont.
They have a depth problem. That's the issue.
There's a strong upper crust and a strong toothless crust.
Right.
But there's not a whole lot in the middle, which is where.
Frankly, where I would fall.
Yeah, where almost all regular dudes fall.
Yeah.
You know, regular dudes aren't going to bang some methed out, toothless chick in a wife beater. Nobody wants that. And most dudes can't get the super high-end chicks in Beaumont. So there's, like, probably about 10 girls in Beaumont for every dude who's normal. And the rest of them just, you know, they They kind of just deal with it and suck it up and take the toothless chick.
Man, what's scary is I'm looking at the countries and, you know, male to female population rate and the birth rates. In almost every single country, there's more males born than females.
The world's a giant sausage party, John.
Yeah, it's getting a little scary.
Yeah.
Even here?
Yeah, here, well, at the moment, 25 to 54, it's even, but the birth rate is more male here.
Damn it. Well, I mean, let's be fair. Anybody who's not 25 already, I'll never have sex with anyway.
Yeah, it's 1.05 in the United States.
Okay, that's not too lopsided.
Yeah, no, that's it's not good.
Is it true in North Korea? It's 9.0 to 1 men to women.
I got to check here. North Korea, no, it's actually birth rate 1.05. And under 54, it's 1.02.
Okay, that's not too bad.
Why did they pick 54 as a random number?
I don't know.
Because 54 is the cutoff before you're considered elderly.
Sorry. I thought that was still middle-aged until like...
No.
No,
you are middle-aged until 54.
No, we looked this up. It's like, because I was surprised to be considered middle-aged because to me, middle-age is halfway through life and I'm way past halfway.
Yeah, I don't know what they call it, but... like once you're 55, I think you're like a senior citizen, right?
No, get out of here.
Or is that 65?
It's 65. You're way off.
In Qatar or Qatar or however you say it, 25 to 54, the male to female ratio 4.91. It's the highest in the world.
That's male to female?
Almost five males to one female.
How's a guy gonna have a harem there?
No idea. And the lowest between that range is, I don't know how to say this, I'm going to butcher this, is D-I-J-I-B-O-U-T-I. Deja booty?
Deja booty.
Yeah.
Deja booty.
Deja booty?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have the, in terms 25 to 54, it's 0.71 males to one female.
Okay.
Okay, the U.S. Census lists the category middle age from 45 to 65.
Okay.
So I'm middle age.
You can start getting AARP membership at 50.
I know that. I can also play senior poker tournaments at 50.
Yeah. You start getting senior discounts at places like Denny's when you're 55.
I don't go to Denny's, so there.
At most restaurants, you'll get a senior discount. Like, you'll get a senior discount on your coffee when you're 55.
I don't want that.
You don't, but it's coming. Winter is coming, Fred. Old age is coming. You're eligible for senior housing at 55.
I say that's a win.
You know what they call that? That the federal government's Housing for Older Persons Act. You're an older person once you're 55. I like that.
I kind of have a place to stay. I don't need senior housing.
Well, you might when you're a senior.
I think so.
What's going to happen when you like start pooping your pants and you need someone to change your diaper and things like that?
It's not going to happen at 65. Get out of here.
65? That's going to happen.
No. It didn't happen until you're like 80.
You're going to have to move out of that place you're in now. They got stairs there. You're going to be able to walk stairs when you're 65.
Get out of here.
All right.
Do we want to take a phone call real quick?
I bet. Is it about how old you are?
No. I don't know what
it's about. Sports?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Let's take a sports call. Let's just
fine.
Do it. We got to get one in. Go, Don.
Hey, guys, sports. Fred, you're not that old. I'm 55. Hey, man, I'm still walking stairs, and nobody's changing my diaper. I don't even have one.
Yo, I was going to say, you all change right, your guys, own diaper? Look, good for you.
What's the deal with Verlander? I've been hearing all day these rumors. Have y'all heard that? What's going on?
I mean, Verlander's cleared waivers, so anybody can trade for him. I still don't know that the Astros will do it. And I'm sure they would love to have him. It boils down to what the Tigers are willing to pay off of that contract because the Astros they're not looking to take on all of that money. They just, which to me doesn't make sense. This is a relatively low budget baseball team that they've got right now and is a winner. If you've got to add some salary to it, it seems like that's a good time to do it.
Well, if you're looking ahead, okay, Beltran will presumably be off the books next
year. That's 19 million bucks.
Yeah.
Off the books.
So, you know, if you can offset some of that over 2 years.
And he's making 28 million this year. It's 28, 28, and then 22 in 2020. So,
but I think the 2020 is an option, if I'm not mistaken.
It is an option.
So,
yeah, I would lean towards paying that money, and around 2020 is when you're gonna have to start paying the guys on your team, the Correas or the Altuves, right, et cetera. So then that money will be clear then. To me, Verlander's the perfect option for the window that you've got now with this Astros team, which I think is about 3 years, where all the gang's together. You've got everybody under control. Spend a little money on this dude. It averages out about $27, $28 million a year. And make yourself a contender. Give yourself a chance to win a World Series or two during this run.
And it's easy for me to say spend the money.
Yeah, it's not our money.
But, yeah.
Yeah, but if I had that kind of dough, and maybe I'm wrong, but I thought the whole goal of this thing was to win the freaking World Series. That's your chance.
It's my goal, but they didn't ask me.
I know they didn't.
They asked me what beer I like, I would tell
you're
them.
Elderly. Why would they ask you? They ask some old
I'm
guy?
I'm middle-aged.
I think we should trade for Lou Gehrig.
Satchel Paige would be awesome. That's who we should add.
They don't make them like they used to.
Go dig up Bob Gibson. I bet he can still pitch. Yeah.
Mickey Mantle hit from both sides of the plate drunk. That's baseball.
It's the only reason Roger Maris hit more home runs. He was sober.
Yeah. Now they've got steroids. They still suck.
Whiskey is all you
need.
In
my day, Jack Daniels was all the performance enhancing you needed. Moonshine. All right. Now they drink Carbach.
And they should.
Maybe not as much during the season, though. Beer can fatten you up a little bit.
It can. That's Beltran's probably the only one drinking it right now, I would guess.
Gattis is on the DL. Yeah. He's got to be drinking. It's a concussion DL.
Right. And that's the only way to get your head right is to
drink. Right. That'll make you feel better. But there's a lot of Carbach to be drank right now, guys. The summer months are upon us. There's plenty of good beer to drink. And we were talking with Eric earlier about the styles of beer you want to drink during the summertime. Not always looking for something heavy. And that's why Carbach's got so many great options. Staycation is one of those options. Brewed with some bright, citrusy, aromatic hops. A touch of wheat. It's got a real smooth finish. Weekend Warrior, if you're looking for something a little hoppier, it's a nice, easy drinking pale. And then, of course, Love Street, which is Eric's signature beer, and it's quickly becoming their best seller, is a Kolsch. And really, it's perfect for any occasion. And when it's hot outside, that's a perfect beer to grab. They've got something for everyone. The Hop Delusion is out right now if you're looking to tie one on. But be careful with that. And, of course, when you're drinking, you want to have a good time. You want to hear some good music. They do that every Wednesday night, the Love Street Blues. They're in the beer garden in partnership with the Houston Blues Society. There's no cover, so go on out and listen to the music. They've got normal beer garden pricing. And take a tour while you're there. More info at CarbachBrewing.com. And right now is restaurant week, so you can go down, taste some of the fine wares at the Carbach restaurant. I'm telling you, it's not bar food. I mean, it is a legit restaurant with fantastic food and a ton of beer on tap. Whatever you're doing this week, wherever you're going out, pick up your favorite Carbach beer or just tell your bartender, hey, please make it a Carbach.
ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, have you ever thought if I could do it all over again, I'd like to work with computers. Maybe you could make some more money or you just got a job that you don't like right now. Well, it's not too late. You don't need a math. You don't need a computer background to start an IT career. It's not too late, guys. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. See if an IT career is right for you. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. My Computer Career is where you can get trained for the high-demand field of IT. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 3 to 4 months. You attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week, and you'll get everything you need to start your new career. It's more than just a school, though. My Computer Career helps you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill for my fellow vets. What are you waiting for, guys? Classes start up soon. Go take the free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. MyComputerCareer.edu.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, your home for Aggie sports. Stay sportsy.
All right, I know I was supposed to do this earlier, but we got off on the Game of Thrones stuff and everything. So win a free night stay to any Red Roof Inn. Check out our Facebook page, ESPN Houston, for your chance to win. Just use our hints and redroof.com to identify which Red Roof Inn is in the picture. We'll randomly choose a winner from all the correct answers. Today's hints, this is the most populated island in the U.S. location of the first working ranch in the U.S. It is illegal to release 25 or more helium balloons within a 24-hour period here. Curious.
Interesting question.
I'll give the hint again. This is the most populated island in the U.S., location of the first working ranch in the U.S. It is illegal to release 25 or more helium balloons within a 24-hour period here. Good luck. All right, let's do the dumbass report.
Oh, geez, I didn't even have that that ready. I didn't
know.
We're behind a segment. I apologize for that.
Is the last segment.
I know. Our timing got all off. I'm pulling up it popping up now. Okay, here we go. Let's go. There's a woman who likes to party.
I like her already.
We like women who like to party.
Oh, yeah.
La Crosse police arrested a woman twice in 3 days for drunken driving. You like a woman who parties that much? A witness spotted...
It depends on the other assets. Let's start with that.
A witness spotted Heidi Alberts, 38, drive over a concrete parking block at about 12:45 a.m. She told police she was, quote, just hanging out before picking up her son and admitted to drinking vodka while driving.
Not wise, guys.
She quit field sobriety test because she was pissed off and had a 0.38% preliminary alcohol level. Police arrested her for a second time and transported her to jail. At about 9 p.m. Saturday, they stopped her for driving without headlights. She told police she was driving to Quick Trip for bananas before officers found 4 empty cartons of wine in the car.
Jeez. Cartons of wine?
She had a 0.28% preliminary alcohol level this time.
That's strong.
She's free on a $3,000 signature bond, facing charges of second offense drunken driving and bail jumping. So, she likes to go hard.
How's she look, though?
I'd say she's a, for 38-year-old, she's probably a 4 or 5.
So a catch and release kind of thing.
Probably so. Yeah. Especially if she's the kind of chick who will get DUIs over the course of a weekend.
You release her before the DWI.
Yeah, that's what I would think. But
send her back into the world.
Yeah, it's been like, all right, I was just using her between her DUIs. That's all.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how you. That's your get out.
You know what? Like, she's probably not going to remember it.
You're like, I would have kept dating you. I would have called you back, but once you got that second DUI, I was like, no, I'm out on you. A man was found dead a month after he was reported missing. It's in Scotland. Apparently, he was last seen by his family the previous day at his house. When they reported him. So right. They reported him over a month ago. What they're calling a widespread search took place over the last month. And granted, this is Europe, so it's hard to know what their thinking process is, but they finally found him. You want to guess where they found him?
No.
In his house, where he was last reported seen a month ago. And, he was still there, believe it or not.
Just dead.
Just dead in his bed. I guess they just knocked on the door and they're like, well, he's not here. Let's go look somewhere else.
Yeah, I kind of probably should have gone.
It's like one of the places you check thoroughly.
Especially if you smelled something.
Right. So not wise guys to them.
All right, that's going to wrap it up. Fun show. Great job, Jong Lee. Great job, AJ Hoffman. Till tomorrow, stay sportsy, bitches.
This is ESPN 97.5.